Welcome to the Canadian SME Small Business Podcast, a podcast for Canadian small businesses. We interview Canadian experts and entrepreneurs to provide expert insight into marketing, innovation, business leadership, technology, and trends that impact small businesses.
Whether you're just getting started or already established, UPS is here to help you make the most of your time. Their services, tools, expertise, and team of UPS Small Business Ambassadors can help businesses of all sizes simplify processes, improve customer experience, and guide you on the path to growth. My name is Elaine Tancomo, founder of Easy Daisies, Daily Visual Schedules for Kids, and I want to invite you to visit UPS.com to learn more and save up to 52% or more on shipping. This is a paid advertisement.
Hi, this is Kripa Anand, and welcome to the Canadian SME Small Business Podcast, where we explore the inspiring journeys of entrepreneurs and the innovative models driving social impact. Today, we are focusing on a unique intersection of faith, enterprise, and cultural renewal. In a world grappling with complex social challenges, there is a growing recognition of the power of businesses to be force for good. Our guest has made a significant pivot from the corporate world to championing a new kind of entrepreneurship, redemptive enterprise. Joining us today is Kevin McKay, Executive Director and co-founder of Kaleo Labs, a certified social enterprise based in Canada. Kevin brings over two decades of corporate experience with global brands, followed by 12 years in Christian international development work across 14 countries. He now helps social enterprises become more redemptive, sustainable, and impact-driven, and is a co-founding member of Praxis Guild Toronto. So before further ado, let's welcome him. Kevin, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Yes, thank you. That was a great introduction. Take a breath. That was so wonderful. So yes, we're doing great. Thanks for having us on.
It's our pleasure. Now, Kevin, your career path is truly distinctive, right? Moving from two decades in the corporate world with global brands to now a profound dedication to, you know, redemptive entrepreneurship. Let's start by understanding what exactly led you to, you know, step away from your successful corporate career in sales, marketing, and business development, because no one wants to leave that, right? To pursue international development and eventually co-found Kaleo Labs. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thank you. My wife definitely didn't want me to leave. the short version, Kripa, is that I was trading market share for life share. You know, mm-hmm. I could see that the influence of business, and I was working for big brands like Pitney Bowes and Hewlett Packard, but just really felt that I could use my skills maybe in different ways. And really, you know, 13 years ago, didn't really have a command of what that could look like, just an idea. So that's why I left the corporate world for the, you know, the international development sector, as we call it. But, you know, the entrepreneur in me, the business person in me, mm-hmm. the idea person, the startup person, just could not escape seeing all of the wonderful entrepreneurship going on around the world, predominantly in the global south and in the developing context. So that just fired my imagination for the work we're doing today.
Wow, that's a very powerful transformation, Kevin. And, you know, it truly highlights a profound shift from market share to a focus on life share and impact. And I totally understand, you know, why your wife was not comfortable with it. Because, of course, like a job offers stability, right? And in business, it's always a risk-taking challenge. But you did amazing. So kudos to you for achieving that. Now, before we go any further, let's clarify, you know, a core concept that defines Kaleo Labs' mission. What exactly is a redemptive business? But before we dive into that, here's a special message for all of our listeners, especially for all the Canadian founders and leaders. Are you passionate about building a business that creates deep impact and renewal? Learn from Kevin McKay, Executive Director of Kaleo Labs, about redemptive entrepreneurship, overcoming challenges for faith-driven founders, and how to make your enterprise a force for good. Now let's continue our conversation with Kevin. Now, Kevin, the term redemptive business is central to your work, but for all the, you know, people who are hearing it for the first time, please go ahead and explain what does it mean and how is that, you know, fundamentally different from just running a standard socially responsible enterprise or, you know, a traditional non-profit charity?
Yeah, wow, we could spend 2 hours just answering that amazing question. Thank you. Yeah, I think there's a few couple of areas that we have to sort of double click on, Kripa, mm-hmm. and one of those is this idea that What do we do with profit? And I think sometimes think, well, if it's charity or if it's a social enterprise or if it's a force for good kind of company, you know, profit and doing good are irreconcilable. And that's just not the case. What we do with profit determines, you know, I think if it's going to be good use or not so good use or positive use in our case.
Yeah.
I think one of the defining factors is that idea of profit isn't bad. We need profit to do really good and powerful things in the world, right? Force for good is what you said. I think the other element is sometimes businesses can run at the expense of their employees. And it sounds strange, but even at the expense of their community. So the other important facet of this is that word redemptive sometimes can be misinterpreted or just people just don't understand it. So think of it as flourishing. If the owner operator of a small mid-sized business enterprise can think about the ways he or she can help their staff internally flourish first and foremost, and then their whole ecosystem, including the communities that they operate in, they do business in, they think about their communities flourishing. Now you've got a powerful combination of profit meets purpose. And so this is a little bit of what's going on inside this redemptive enterprise. I'll pause there just in case you've got any, in case you've got any clarifying questions, but you did say what the difference was. Do you want me to keep going on the difference?
Yes.
Yeah. So the big differentiator for us is particularly when you think about a social enterprise versus a charity. Yeah. If we look at the charity model and say it's a business model, then by definition, it's not sustainable because it only has donation revenue. It doesn't have earned revenue like most of your SMEs. So what we're advocating for is a social enterprise that has social purpose and has an earned revenue mechanism. So in other words, it's got products and services that are generating profit. And the home run for us is that though that business itself is also trying to address a social issue, a complex social issue, both in Canada and the work we're doing in the Global South.
Great. That's a very well articulated and very clear and, you know, compelling distinction, Kevin. It emphasizes, you know, a deeper level of purpose and integrated impact within the business model itself. Now, also speaking of commitment, Kaleo Labs has recently been officially recognized as a certified social enterprise by BiSocial Canada. Congratulations for that. And what does the certification mean for Kaleo Labs and its mission?
Yeah, I think it's first and foremost, thanks for that recognition, Kripa. It's, you know, it's an expression of our values, quite frankly. And I think that's the one thing. I think we're running with a tribe of like-minded entrepreneurs and ecosystem builders like BiSocial Canada. The big benefit, and could even be for some of your constituents, your SMEs, is government institutions in particular are starting to procure goods and services from organizations that have a certain kind of value set. And so if these organizations are now increasingly becoming certified as social enterprises in particular, a lot of the municipalities and government agencies that are throwing out tenders are looking to buy and tender responsibly. And, you know, a lot of what's included in that are things like employee care, creation care, stewardship of the environment, et cetera. There's lots of things that go into that. Mm-hmm. But it's the way that the business is doing its business. And so for us, that matters, right? That matters. Employee care, environmental care, it matters. And so that's why the certification is exciting for us.
Great. That's a significant accomplishment, Kevin, you know, affirming that Kaleo Labs' dedication to using business as a force for good, it's true and it's very much there. You know, understanding the principles of redemptive business is key for founders looking to integrate faith, justice, and innovation for profound impact. Mm-hmm. Now, Kevin, faith-driven founders bring a unique motivation to the entrepreneurial landscape, right? But they also, just like everyone else, face specific hurdles. So if I were to ask you, you know, on top of your mind, if you can remember any common challenges that, you know, faith-driven founders usually encounter when trying to build a sustainable and impactful social enterprise that truly balances mission, financial viability, and spiritual formation, what do you think they are?
Yeah, well, I think you've kind of hit on, sort of hinted to some of the big ones right out of the hopper. And as a faith-based organization, it by definition is its value set and the way that it behaves is different. Yeah. And sometimes that's a barrier. Sometimes that's a barrier for employees. Maybe they are a little afraid of working with a faith-based organization, or even sometimes customers and suppliers and other vendors. So I think that's one of the big challenges. I think the other challenge can be, if the faith is very sort of overt in the business, sometimes investors get a little spooked about that as well too. Yeah. I often use the analogy, Kripa, of B Corporation certification. That is a deep, very well thought out set of metrics, set of values that an organization aspires to. Ours is very similar in a sense, and I borrow on that as an analogy. So there's nothing really to be fearful of. I think one of the, you know, when we look at the businesses that are probably just doing well and thriving, their employees are thriving, they're flourishing, their communities that they operate in, their partnerships are very mature and healthy and vibrant. And a lot of that leads to profit. In fact, you even had and this is a little bit of a segue, but you even had a guest on one of your previous podcasts. I think it was from one of your bank partners, and they talked about the research that purpose-driven companies have. They enjoy better retention in their staff engagement. They enjoy better staff engagement. In other words, more meaningful work is being created for employees, and they also enjoy better staff attraction. In other words, top talent. And so companies that have these business, deep business values and practices actually have, you could say, an economic and an HR advantage over their competitive group too. So a little bit of a bridge to some empirical research, but there you go.
I think the research that you're referring to is the RBC research paper that it took out, right? So that's a great observation right there, Kevin. And it's clear that, you know, these founders navigate a very complex intersection of, you know, purpose and practicality. And, you know, identifying and I think addressing these unique challenges, it's very important for empowering faith-driven founders to achieve and, you know, realize their full potential. Now, Kevin, let's explore how broader communities and leaders can, you know, actively support this vital form of entrepreneurship. Because, you know, beyond individual founders, you also champion a more active role for collecting groups in supporting social entrepreneurship. Please go ahead and explain us how can churches and Christian leaders specifically support social entrepreneurship beyond traditional philanthropy? And can you share a memorable experience that, you know, shaped your view on redemptive social enterprise? We'd love to know that story.
Wow. Okay. That's another couple of hours for another great question. Yeah. You know, I think the big thing about church I could probably make the argument for many faith groups as well, Kripa, but you know, the one thing that we absolutely know is, guess what? There are a whole bunch of really talented people sitting in churches Monday to Friday. They are teachers, professors, and there's a whole bunch of business people and entrepreneurs. So there's this latent capacity inside a church, you might say. And so one of the things I think that churches can recognize as a central part of community development is they have this incredible level of expertise that they can activate into what we call community development. And so that's one thing that churches could capture the vision on, is the intersection of mission and business to serve its communities. We know that there's a ongoing funding pressure both at the federal and the provincial level for social programs. And so now you've got this amazing church that's already a community pillar. You've got typically hundreds of people sitting there that have all of these wonderful, rich experiences that also want to be activated. Maybe their place of employment's not, you know, filling that need for them, but their church can. And so there's this wonderful opportunity to marry these two things together. So I think that's amazing. And all kinds of amazing examples of where we see this intersection. Typically, we've seen churches get involved in helping marginalized parts of society, quite frankly. It could be folks that are coming out of incarceration. It could be migrant workers. And what they've typically done, got lots of great examples of that, where they'll actually create places of employment to help these folks either transition or find safe places to successfully reintegrate back into society. So that's one great example. And I can give you lots more, both Canadian examples and international examples of where we worked around the world. But that's a big question. That's a lot. That's a
yes, big answer. No worries. We'll do another episode and we'll talk about that in more detail.
Wonderful.
But definitely that's a very powerful call to action, Kevin. And you know, the anecdote that you shared, it truly brings to life the profound impact of integrated mission. Engaging communities and your leadership is vital for nurturing a thriving ecosystem for social entrepreneurs. So thank you for highlighting that. Finally, Kevin, KLU Labs is making a tangible difference in equipping Christian social entrepreneurs, right? Can you highlight KLU Labs' vision for redemptive entrepreneurship in Canada, its impact, you know, supporting over 40 founders, and what's next, including the upcoming lab in British Columbia?
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, you know, we have Christian and non-Christian entrepreneurs both in our impact consulting side of our practice as well as our lab program. So the program itself, in terms of the, you know, I'll call it the mechanics of our lab program and our consulting work, is really all about, you nailed it, an integrated redemptive practice. So in other words, a business that knows how to take the practical of social impact and deeply embedded into its business. And part of that is like actually spending time to declare what is your purpose, how will you measure it, and what are you striving to achieve, and then making that declaration. If we can help the entrepreneur, Kripa, make the connection between that and its business, now all of a sudden we've got magic happening, right? That entrepreneur now can really actually start to articulate and cast a vision for its staff, its investors, even its suppliers, vendors, and even, this sounds crazy, but even its competitors and the communities that it's operating in. So our lab program in Canada, as you mentioned, the one in BC, we're inviting social entrepreneurs that might have some business challenges that want some help on this clarifying of their social impact and the integrating of it into their businesses. And that also includes just specific general business challenges that they may have. Maybe they need help with their go-to-market strategy, the definition of their customer base, or even their financials or investor readiness. Right. So we marry the best of social impact practices and business practices in order to make this a high octane social enterprise. So that's what we're all about.
Lovely. That's a very inspiring vision, Kevin. And you know, the tangible impact you're already achieving, it's truly impressive. Now imagine I'm giving you a time machine, right? And say you travel 15 years down into the future. How exactly would you envision the future of KLU Labs? What do you see?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we always talk, we're trying to preach and what we're preaching, I guess you might say. So our intended impact is that more organizations, more entrepreneurs, actually this just becomes their default business model. At least they start off thinking, how do I embed social purpose in the launch of my business? So that, as I said before, my staff are flourishing and then the communities we're doing business in are flourishing. And as you said, becomes a force for good. I think if we could look at 5 or 10 years and that is becoming, you know, the norm rather than the exception, then I'd say, okay, we're helping to move the needle. Yeah, for us, you know, we want to continue to build out the ecosystem of founders, funders, right? We need capital investors to make these SMEs go. And we need mentorship. We need people that want to be part of these entrepreneurs' journey. And so we really want to create a platform to allow folks to activate the things that they're passionate about, Kripa. So maybe I have to talk to you later about what you're passionate about. And if we can do that in an open-handed way to allow people parachute in and belong and become part of, then we'll do our little part in ecosystem building it to help make Canada better. And like I said before, some of the international contexts that we're operating in as well too.
Wow, that's a very wholesome perspective and a very wholesome answer. And you painted quite a fascinating picture of the future. Before we let you go, Kevin, if there's one piece of core advice that you have for our listeners today, something that you want them to take away from this entire discussion, what would it be and why?
Yeah, I think it's two things. One, entrepreneurs are so uniquely equipped to, you know, build businesses that can be a force for good. They're the only ones that can create economic wealth, that mm-hmm. can create profit, repurpose profit for good. They can create products and services that, you know, people actually need. So there's this amazing, unique quality about it, the entrepreneur to begin with. They have a huge advantage to be a force mm-hmm. for good right out of the hopper. So I think that's probably point number one. And I think the second thing is, don't build the business saying, I'll worry about, you know, being a force for good and doing good things and helping my staff flourish after I'm profitable, because you know the fail rate of an SME is quite high. And so if we times that by the fail rate by 5 years, that's literally thousands of man hours that we've lost in helping people and communities flourish. So that's a long way of saying, start designing the business the way you want it to be 5 and 10 years from the beginning. Don't wait 5, 10 years until you're profitable. That may be too late. So design from start the way you want to finish.
Well, that's $1 million advice and, you know, a very powerful and profoundly inspiring message, Kevin. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise and giving us your time. It was an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast.
Yeah, likewise. And we'll look forward to you becoming a mentor in the future.
Kudos, for sure. All right. That was an insightful conversation with Kevin McKay, Executive Director and Co-Founder of Kaleo Labs, on his journey to redemptive entrepreneurship, the challenges and support for faith-driven founders, and the vital role of social enterprise in cultural renewal. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Canadian SME Small Business Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast for more expert insights and resources that can help your business thrive. Also, don't forget to visit our website, CanadianSME.ca. And lastly, a very special thank you to our podcast partners, RBC, UPS, A1 Global College, and Google for their ongoing commitment to empowering SMEs. Until next time, keep innovating and striving for success, and we'll see you in the next episode. Kripa Anand signing off.
Thank you for listening to the Canadian SME Podcast. Please visit CanadianSME.ca to subscribe. And join us next again as we share more expert advice from Canadian business leaders.